you for listening to this message from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries in Gunnison, Colorado. We hope you will visit us at rmcmchurch.org, like our Facebook page, or subscribe to our messages on YouTube.
Okay, we're going to start a new series this morning. I woke up. I did wake up, drank coffee. That's all I remember. Now, it was early in the week, maybe Monday or Tuesday or something like that. Probably Monday, because I knew we were finished with our last series. Really didn't know where we were going after that. And I just woke up and I felt like the Lord was saying, I want you to talk to my people about hearing my voice. So that's what we're going to talk about. And so today, and I know for many of you this is not a new subject, I think it's a subject. Hearing God is, you know, all through the scripture, God speaks in these terms of speaking, words, conversations, his voice. That type of communication, I believe, is his primary, his chosen type of communication, is to speak with us, to converse with his people, okay? And there are other ways that we can discern what God is saying or doing, but we need to know how to hear his voice. And depending on where you are in your walk, this is actually one of the things I probably have had more questions from people about learning to hear God's voice than anything else in all the years. You know, people, there's a desire in us to know how to hear God. And there are a lot of different perspectives and a lot of different, you know, people grow up in different situations and believe different things about whether you even can hear God or whether that's really weird. You know, you're really out there if you think you can hear God's voice. I know one guy that always says you're crazy if you don't hear voices. But anyway, I think even if we have been pretty familiar with discerning what God is speaking to us, it's always good to go back. For one thing, I always try to, I don't know if you're aware of this, but I always try to treat you as if you're ministers and you're ministering to people, because I think you are. I believe that about you, and we are all called to do that. So I suspect you have people asking you these questions too, particularly if you share with them something that God has spoken to you. Well, a lot of people are going to wonder. So it's good to go back through this. I think it's a lifelong thing of getting more and more sensitive to the voice of God. So it's always good to go back through this subject, and I love it. I'm excited about it. And boy, just, you know, starting out with Jeremiah chapter 1, it's one of the many, many verses that I've bookmarked during just starting to think about these things, because the Lord was saying there, I watch over my word to perform it. And I think it's important that we understand that, yes, there's the written word, okay, but there's also the spoken word. And we know, you know, we know in the New Testament, those two things, written word and spoken word, there are different Greek words that are, but they're both, in English, we just translate it word, you know. And but one is the spoken word of God, what he is speaking to you. The other is the overview, the logos. It's the big overview of who God is and all that he has done. And those two go together. And we see in the, you know, over in Ephesians chapter 6, when it talks about the armor of God, there's a belt of truth. Okay, that's the big overview, truth. Everything God has ever said is truth. It goes around the waist of that soldier. It holds all the other pieces of armor in place. That's the way that belt worked, truth. Out of that belt is drawn the spoken word of God, the rhema word of God, the sword of the Spirit that is the word of God, that is the word rhema. It is that weapon. So out of the big picture, truth, logos, overview, everything that God has said, is drawn a specific word for a specific time, for a specific, use at a certain time. And so, I mean, we just have, I could give you, just stand here and give you countless examples. But this morning, we're just going to try to lay, like we always do when we start a series, we're going to lay some pillars, we're going to lay some foundation, remind ourselves of some things, and we'll see how far we get with this today. But some of the things, you know, that I've run into over the years is many people grow up in an environment. Sorry, I'm going to turn this microphone off. No good reason, except that I'll see the little light over here and it'll bug me because I'm so easily distracted. People grow up in different environments and they'll ask, I mean, they'll wonder, and I think this comes from the inside, actually, does God still speak to people today, period? You know, or is that just something that happened back in Bible times? Does God still speak to people today? Does he, even if they believe that, okay, yeah, he speaks to people, a lot of people, because of the way they feel about themselves or whatever, they start comparing themselves with other people, they'll think, well, you have to be a really specially gifted person to hear from God. That's not what the Bible teaches. We're going to see that for sure this morning. It's not what the Bible teaches. You don't have to be specially gifted. You just have to be born again. You just have to give your life to Jesus. And we'll look at that in just a minute. But you don't have to be that special person. You don't have to be the super holy, you know, perfect person, which I don't think there are any of those. We're made holy in Christ, but I think, yeah, anyway, that's one of those. Let's not talk about that. So, you know, and one of the things with that, if you grew up believing that, this is this really unusual experience. Might happen once in my life, might not happen at all, or you have to be this person or that person or hold that office or something like that. Then a lot of times we'll miss God speaking to us, because actually it's so normal. It's not a booming voice of thunder. It's a still small voice from the inside. That's what really throws us a lot of times, is that God's voice, where does he live? Inside you and me. Is God in heaven? Yeah, but he's also, his spirit is inside you and me. So when God speaks to us, it comes from the inside. And it's, And I mean, there may be something from the outside. There might be, you know, something that somebody says or you read or whatever that is a word from God for you. It can come in all kinds of different ways. But when that happens, there will be what we call the inward witness. Something will happen on the inside that will say, that's a word for you. Okay? And it doesn't necessarily, we'll talk about this later, okay, but it doesn't necessarily come as a word, but it comes as an impression. Something happens on the inside of us to say that is not just the word of God. Love the word of God. That is a word for me today. Okay, that happens on the inside. So some people are just looking so externally that they miss what's going on internally. They think, oh, that was just me. Okay, so we want to know how to separate those things, and we're not even going to talk about that today, but we do. So the next question becomes, well, does God speak to me? And if he does, how do I know I can trust what I'm hearing? And that's a very good question. I think that's a very legitimate, important thing for us to learn how to discern what's God and what's just me. But here's my opinion on that, just from a lot of experience in my own life and in other people's lives. I trust God over that. And if you are a reasonable person and you just don't go running off with the something that you believe you've heard, if you compare it to the word and you have a few friends that you know hear from God and you can say, hey, could you pray about this? I feel like the Lord is saying this to me. And you tell me what you feel. Does it bear witness with you or not? If you're just a little bit reasonable and you trust the Lord, I believe the Lord wants to speak with every one of his kids. We're going to look at the scripture in just a second. I believe there's no doubt about that. God wants to speak to us. So I believe he is faithful and he takes the initiative Okay, and so he will be speaking to us, and then he will help us. It's why the Holy Spirit, one of the big reasons the Holy Spirit is in us, is to bear witness to what is from God and to caution us about what is not. So for us, it's a matter of practice, sort of learning to discern. This is the Lord. This very well might not be, you know, or this isn't. Okay, so I think that's where a lot of people fall down, is they just don't trust themselves, and they're afraid to take a step, even a small step. And it's great with the subject to start small. You know, don't start with giving away all your money and moving to Africa, okay, as a word from God. Start with something small that you believe God is saying and obey it. And ask the Lord, hey, if I start moving, I'm going to move on this because I believe this is you. Please correct me if I'm wrong. And also, as we take steps, okay, I'm stepping out on what I believe you've said, and I'm stepping out, and, oh, the path goes that way, and I keep going this way. I learn how the Holy Spirit nudges me on the inside, and it's like, okay, wait. It's not that the word has changed. It's that there's a little different way to get this done. Does this make sense to you? This is a practice thing to a degree. We need to know what the word says, and that's where I want to stay or start. I want us today to just see what God says about speaking to us. But then every one of us are going to have to develop in this because we all grew up, or almost all of us, there are a few of you maybe, grew up in a great home where you've been hearing from God since you were this big. And you don't even remember a time when you didn't know how to hear from God. Well, goody for you. No, that's awesome. I wish we'd all grown up in homes like that. Most of us grew up getting all of our direction from up here and not even knowing how to hear from down here. Okay, not even know how to learn to hear from the Spirit. So it's something we have to learn. It's different. Okay, it's different. We're learning to hear from the Holy Spirit. Okay, is this making sense to you? All right, so how does God speak to us? Let me just throw these out to you. If you're taking notes, you can write them down, most of you. This is familiar. He does speak to us through his written word, okay? Absolutely. The written word is the baseline, okay? That is the foundation, is probably a better word for that. The written word is the foundation. No word from God, nothing he speaks to you will ever violate what is written. If it violates what is written, just get rid of it. It's not God, okay? Don't keep messing with it. Don't keep trying to justify it. Don't try to find somebody to agree with you, because you will, okay? Just if it doesn't agree with the written word or the nature of God that we see in Jesus Christ, it is not from God. Junk it and go back to listening to God. You're going to get yourself in trouble if you keep following that stuff. We can absolutely start justifying ourselves. And, you know, when something is just a strong desire in our heart, and we go, instead of looking for, Lord, what are you saying to me in my life? Instead of that being our prayer, it's, hey, God, I want this really bad. Make it happen. Okay? And when we get in that place, people will show up out of the woodwork to give you a word from God that confirms that thing that is an idol in your heart, and that you have gotten up in front. It's the only thing you pray about now. It's every time you go into God's presence, that's what's on your mind. You want to hear a word on that. I think that's a really dangerous way to do it. We need to just let God lead. Let him speak. He knows what you need to hear today. And it may not be on the subject that you think is most important. He knows what he's doing. So it's so important to just let him speak. Let him lead. Just seek his heart. Seek to hear what he is saying to you and work with that. Okay, so anyway, he speaks to us through his written word. He speaks to us through the inward witness. We'll talk about that later. Just these inward knowings and impressions that is the Holy Spirit bearing witness with our spirit. We'll talk about that another time. There is an inward voice. Sometimes there are words that you hear on the inside from the Holy Spirit. And we want to learn how to know that those are the Holy Spirit and not just me. He does speak to people audibly. I know people that have heard the audible voice of God. I've never heard the audible voice of God, but we see it in the scripture. I know people that have, you know, okay, that would be the outward voice of God. He speaks to us through dreams and through visions and through prophecy. He speaks to us many, many different ways, okay? And we see all of these in the scripture, okay? I'm rearranging my theology right here just a little bit. I have always taught you're not going to be led. It is dangerous to try to be led by your circumstances, and I still believe that. I don't believe God herds us around through circumstances, and then we're looking at the circumstances and trying to interpret what might God be saying to me because this happened. I think that's totally backwards for a New Testament believer. We are supposed to be hearing, we are supposed to be looking at our circumstances and saying, God, what would you say about that? Okay, how do you want me to handle that? Not what are you saying to me through that? Does that make sense? I will say this, that I know people that I trust very much. They have a long track record of hearing from God. And what happens in them is what they call unusual coincidences. Maybe they'll see the same number over and over and over, and then they'll wake up in the night and that number will be on the clock. They'll, you know, just everywhere they go, they're seeing that number. And eventually it catches their attention. And eventually God will lead them to a scripture that is that verse or something like that. I don't function that way. I think it's a legitimate way of hearing. I don't think it's a primary way of hearing. You know, if you function that way, just be sure, you know, that you wait until you actually get the word, the direction before you do that. Okay. So how are you doing? Okay. So, just want to get this out of the way. We'll just start here again. We're boilerplate today. Write these things down. Take a picture of it, whatever. Any communication from God will agree with the written word and the nature of God as seen in Jesus. Jesus is the exact image of the Father. Okay? Any communication from God, however it comes, it has to agree with the written word. If it doesn't agree with the written word, God doesn't contradict himself. God's not a liar. God doesn't play games with our life, okay? Secondly, any communication from God will bring things like faith. Okay, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? And that is the rhema word of God, the spoken word of God. So it'll bring things like faith. It'll bring peace. Even in the face of non-peace, it will bring peace to the heart. It'll bring things like, it'll lead us into more love, not less love, okay? Lead us into compassion for somebody that we've had no compassion for. Lead us into forgiveness. It leads us into the nature of God, okay? It doesn't lead us into sin. It doesn't okay sin. It doesn't say, oh, well, the Bible must not really mean this. It will bring, it'll release these characteristics into our heart. Okay, so that's one way we know when it's God speaking. You can hear, you can be sitting here this morning and just hear, just get one nugget from God that'll bring peace to your life in the face of a situation that you're dealing with. It'll bring peace and faith to your life. It'll restore you. It'll sometimes give you new direction, but it will release something on the inside of you so that you can go forward and keep taking the steps you need to take. Okay, no communication from God is going to bring condemnation. It might bring correction. It might bring conviction. But it's not going to tell you that you are unworthy, that you are no good, that you have blown it too badly for God to ever deal with you. The scripture tells us there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The word condemnation means to declare unfit for use, okay? It's to bring shame, all right? Shame's destructive. That's different than the Lord coming along and saying, I need you to stop going that way, and I need you to start going this way. He does that with love, okay? He does that for our good. All right. Any communication from God is going to exalt, lift up Jesus. What I mean by that is, even though this is kind of hard to describe, I probably don't have good language for it yet. Even though the word is to us and it's very instructive or uplifts us, we are not the center or the be-all, end-all of whatever that word is about. Jesus is. Does that kind of make sense? It's not glorifying me. It's not, oh, hey, go do this and I'm going to make you rich and famous. Okay, God may make you rich and famous, but only in exalting Jesus. Okay, Jesus is always going to be the one that is being exalted. We're told that the Holy Spirit will always point to Jesus. So he's not going to say something to us. It just focuses in on us. It doesn't become self-centered. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. Any communication from God will bear witness with the Holy Spirit within you, but not necessarily, and many times, not necessarily affirm your feelings or your desires. Okay. That's Jesus being Lord. Okay, he's Lord. So even when my feelings say this, if he says different, I want to give myself to what he's saying. Okay? All right, so that's just some foundation. Let's go over to John chapter 10. Go over there with me, and let's look at least at a couple of these passages this morning. We're not going to get too far in this. John chapter 10, and actually, you know what? Let me read you a couple other verses before we dig into this. And if this is the only thing we get to here, I just want to read a couple things to you, just to kind of put in your thinking this morning and means of foundation. One of them is from Psalm 119, verse 89. If you're taking notes, you can write these down if you want to. We're not going to study any of this morning. Psalm 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven, and it stands firm as the heavens." So whether it's the written word of God or what God is speaking to us, it is settled in heaven. So it needs to be settled in our hearts too, right? It's established in heaven. It needs to be established in us. It's a firm foundation for us, okay? You guys all know Psalm 119:105. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." That means it guides us. It leads us. In fact, let me show you this one. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20. Now, this is written to Solomon about keeping his father David's commands, but it's talking about the word of God that his parents gave to him. So it really is about the word of God. This is Proverbs chapter 6, beginning with verse 20. It says, "My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not the law of God your mother taught you. Bind them continually upon your heart and tie them about your neck." Get this. "When you go, the words of God will lead you." Okay. If I'm moving, the word of God is going to lead me. "When you sleep, they will keep you." I really believe that has to do with when we're confident in what God's been saying to us, we can sleep well. Even when stuff is going on, keep us. Okay? You're safe. You're cool. Okay? "When you sleep, the word shall keep you. When you waken, they shall talk with you." So the commandments, this is Old Testament, the commandments David taught Solomon, when he would wake up, they'd start speaking to him. Okay? Something we can trust in. And then just one more, and I know these are mostly familiar to you. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. This is so powerful. "For the word that God speaks," the reason it says that is because in the original language, it's the word rhema. "The word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, or of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart." So how do I know if what I'm getting on the inside, how do I know if this is a word from God or if this is just me? Well, one of the ways is the word itself sometimes if we're just patient or we're getting a verse and we don't know exactly what that means, if we'll just keep that up before the Lord, the word will define itself. As we just stay in the word, another scripture will shed light on this scripture. Or somebody will come along, a good solid friend will come along and really confirm or verify or open up something we feel like God's saying to us. The word itself will divide between the thoughts that are just coming from our unrenewed soul and those thoughts that are coming from the Lord. So it's just, the word is powerful. And that includes, the written word, but also the word that God speaks. Okay, back to John chapter 10. We'll look at this. So this is Jesus speaking, and in context, he's talking to the Pharisees, and he's talking about the religious system, and he's talking about the fact that a lot of what that religious system was doing at the time was not healthy, was not good for God's people. But let's begin here. Let's go ahead and begin in verse 1. And it says, I tell you the truth. What do I have on your screen? NIV? Yep. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs up by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. Now, verse 3. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice, or hear his voice. Most of your translations say, hear your voice. It's that word we talk about many times. It means to perceive and to hear, but to hear with an attitude that I'm going to apply it. So it's a real listening. It's not just, I heard the sound, okay? It's, I'm hearing his voice. I'm listening to his voice. It says, his sheep listen to his voice. This is part of sheephood, okay? This is part of being one of his sheep. We have this attitude within us. We're listening for his voice, okay? He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own sheep, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Because they know his voice. If you're a sheep, if you're one of his sheep, you know his voice. You'll recognize. Well, how do I know that I'll recognize it? Because Jesus said, there's something within you that will know his voice. Okay? He's taken care of it. You will know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Okay, so let's tear this apart, okay? So his sheep, this is a primary characteristic of being one of Jesus' follower, one of his people, a born-again person, okay? His sheep hear, recognize, and pay attention to his voice. It's what we do, okay? It's just a part of being a believer. So the question becomes, well, who are his sheep? Or when do we become one of his sheep, okay? And that the answer to that, which is not real popular with some, is that when you give your life to Jesus, when you are born again, when you ask him to be your Lord and Savior, the Bible says you become one of his children. It's John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. I'm going to read it to you. It says, but as many as received him, to them, he gave the right to become children of God to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Okay, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to become. And that word become in the Greek means to become something that you weren't before. Okay, so this is the hard truth, to be a follower of Jesus, to be born again, to be saved, any of those terms we want to use, to be one of his sheep, you have to receive Jesus as the Lord of your life. And it's very common today to hear, well, we're all children of God. We're all children of God. It's a nice thought, but it's not true. We are all creations of God. Every person on this planet was made in the image and likeness of God, and they have value. I don't care what they're into. I don't care where they are. They are valued and loved by God. They have intrinsic value because they were created in the image and likeness of God. Okay? that's not the same as becoming a child of God. Becoming a child of God is about being born again, born into the family of God through putting faith in the work of Jesus Christ at the cross. That is the way the Bible says it is, okay? And again, I just labor that because we're getting more and more, you know, and we're all just children of God. I don't want people to think that. I'm not in their face, okay? You got to have a relationship with them. But if somebody's talking to you about this and asking you about this, this is what the Bible teaches. This is what Jesus taught. This is what all of his followers believed. And the reason it's important is because I don't want them to end up separated from God for eternity because nobody ever told them that just because you're born on the planet doesn't make you a child of God. Okay, it's part of our responsibility. All right, so, but from that time forward, from the time that you gave Jesus your life and asked him to be your Savior, we can recognize the voice of the Lord and we can recognize the voice of the enemy. Now, it says here, and I'm just going to jump down to this. It says they're not going to follow the stranger because they don't recognize his voice. That doesn't mean you can't hear the voice of the enemy. Again, this is their attitude. I don't recognize. The word recognize there means give place to. I don't give place to the words of the devil. I don't toy with the words of the devil. I don't. If I know it's contrary to the scripture, it's contrary to the nature of God, it's contrary to what he has said, I don't toy with it. I don't think about, well, maybe that's right, even though I have scripture that tells me it's not right. I don't do that. I don't follow that voice. I rebuke that voice. Okay? So it doesn't mean we can't. There's too many other scriptures that tell us to take our thoughts captive, that tell us to rebuke the enemy, that tell us to resist the devil, and he will flee from us. There's all these other scriptures that make it clear that, oh yes, you will know which voice it is, but what are you going to do with it? What's your attitude? I have a hard attitude toward the voice of the devil. I'm not going to listen to a bunch of stuff that I already know is not the truth. I'm not going to have big discussions about it unless there's somebody that's really wanting to know something and wanting to know, then I'll discuss it with them all day long. But if it's just, you know, oh, well, maybe this, maybe that, maybe men can become women, maybe this, maybe that. It's like, no. I love the person, but I'm not going to wonder about that in my own heart. You know, I'm not going to wonder about maybe it's okay to lie to this person. Maybe it's okay to just fool around with this woman that's not my wife. That's not okay, right? Okay, that's what I was pretty sure. You know, I'm not gonna toy with that stuff. It just gets us in trouble. Sorry, this thing's bugging me. Okay, anyway. So from the time we're born again, we can recognize the voice of the Lord. Let me give you another scripture, okay? 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. And 21, 1 John 2, 20 and 21, says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. See, you know everything. No, that's not what that means. You know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. What that means is there's an anointing, or some of your translations say an unction, from the Spirit who lives in you, to recognize truth and lies, okay? Truth is what everything that God has said. Lies are contrary to that. You have an anointing to know that. So again, this is a place to say, okay, I can trust something on the inside of me. And Lord, I need to learn to discern this. But I'm going to start here and I'm going to say, you know what? You have given me an anointing. Holy Spirit, you live in there. And I'm going to start trusting. When something puts up a red flag on the inside of me, I'm not going to flip out, but I'm going to say, I'm not going there till I know what the truth is. Okay? You have an anointing. So you can embrace that anointing and get more and more sensitive to what God is saying and what truth and lies are, what light and darkness are. You can get more and more sensitive. Or you can suppress that on the inside of you. You can override it. You can go your own way. You can do what you want to do. the one way you will get more and more hard-hearted, and it will be harder and harder for you to recognize the voice of the Lord. The other way, if you begin to embrace that and say, Lord, teach me, I want to every day, I want to just grow in sensitivity. I'm just going to start, you nudge me, I'm going to go. If I'm about to walk off a cliff, stop me, okay? You know, I mean, I think we can do that with God. He's there to teach. He's the Holy Spirit's our coach. He's going along with us. Romans 8:14 says, the children of God are led by the Spirit of God. And the word led means to go by accompanying. Okay, so I'm going to go. You're pulling me this way. I'm going to go. I'm going to take the step. I'm going to do it. And if I'm stepping off a cliff because I'm wrong, pull me back. I'm telling you, he will. He's done it for me a lot of times. A lot of times, because I want to know. I want to be walking through City Market and just have that nudge, go pray for that person. I want to be going along, and it happens all the time. Somebody calls, somebody says, I have this situation in my life. My, you know, somebody in my life has this sickness or whatever. I want to know in my heart as I start to pray, Lord, how do you want me praying over that? And I'm not perfect in that. I'm just saying, you know, a lot of times I'll have a sense that's going to be okay. I still pray over it, but it's like, no, that's going to be okay. Sometimes it's like, really need to get on this one. It's just that leading. It's that direction that comes from the Holy Spirit, okay? So you can embrace or you can suppress that. Darn it, I can't believe we're about out of time. So let's just try and get just the rest of this verse. Let's just, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He knows us personally. He calls them by name. He knows you. He sees you. And he will personalize his leading for you too. He'll speak to you in a way you can understand. Okay? He will speak to you in a way that you can understand. And there's always a purpose in his voice. He calls us by name and then he starts to take us somewhere. There's always a purpose. There's always a destination. His call is always forward and upward. And it's like, where's he taking us? You know, where is it? He's taking us somewhere. It says then that he goes on ahead of them and his sheep follow him. It's like, you know, he's always taking us. Well, where is he taking me? Somewhere farther than where you are now. I don't think that stops. I think that goes until we're face to face with him. I think we are being led into greater relationship, fulfillment of his purpose, that kind of thing. Okay? So let me just give you, I'm just going to stop there because, well, sorry. Now I have to. I didn't even quite make it through that verse. Let me just share this with you. And then we're going to be done for today. You just have to come back. Yeah. Keep the bridge out. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, okay, we didn't get anywhere near this, but I feel like I need to give it to you today. As we hear from God, okay, I got something from the Lord. Came out of the Word. It spoke it to me, whatever. I got something from the Lord. The important thing is that we act on it or apply it. If it's something you've never thought of in your life, don't jump back out and act on it today, okay? It's good to ask for more information sometimes, all right? Because the Lord leads us by steps. His growth in us and his direction in us, it makes sense. At least spiritually, it makes sense. It's not just you're going along one day and all of a sudden, oh, you're supposed to do something entirely different with your life. That just doesn't end up being right. He leads us step by step. He prepares us. He equips us. Okay, and we're going to end up talking more about that. But it is important that as we hear the word and he quickens his word in us, we build our lives upon what he is saying to us. Jesus told us that. There's two guys, one built his house on the sand, one built the house on the rock. They all experienced the same thing. They all had the same storms come. The only difference was one built on the rock, one built on the sand, and the outcome was very different. One got wiped out, the other stood. Okay, so I was thinking, you know, Lord, what is a practical application? I was thinking when we need right now in life, for most of us, we need to learn to do something. We need to learn how to put a window in a house. I need to learn how to fix a machine. I need to learn how this works or that works. What do we do? Yeah. Ask Fred. Yeah, we ask Fred. YouTube was the right answer. YouTube. We go to YouTube. We Google it. It takes us to YouTube. Okay. We go to YouTube. We watch the video. There's a lot of junk out there that's really bad information, but there's a lot of really good instruction on YouTube. So if we watch the YouTube video on how to put the window in your house, then we want to use the information to actually put the window in our house. We don't want to just walk away and forget what we saw in the video. Okay, what I love about that is then I can watch it again. I can stop it and I can watch it again. The point is, when God gives us instruction, he speaks something to our heart, we want to apply it. It is not just the word that you hear that builds a strong life. It is the word that you hear and do that builds a strong life. So we want to learn to hear, then we want to apply it. We want to apply it. Okay? All right, we'll pick this up again next week. Did you get something out of this? All right, let's stand up and pray. You guys didn't even cause any trouble today. You are writing notes, though. She told me they weren't going to write notes to each other. And they didn't. They didn't pass any notes that I observed. Thank you, Lord. Father, I'm so grateful today that you are so faithful. First of all, that you want this kind of relationship with us. That's awesome. Lord, that you want to know us and have us know you and know your voice and have this sort of face-to-face conversational type relationship with you. That's magnificent all by itself. And Lord, for every one of us, Lord, we live in this world, we live in these bodies, we've got these brains, and Lord, we need to become more and more sensitive to the Spirit and what you're saying to us. So we ask that today. Holy Spirit, just keep teaching us and training us and take us forward into recognizing the voice of our good shepherd, and we will follow him out where you are going, Jesus, in our lives and with our families and our businesses and all of that, Lord, we will go with you. We thank you for that. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the written word. Thank you for what you speak to us, Lord. We thank you for all of it. And I just pray, Lord, you would just that as we go to bed this week, that word would keep us. And as we get up, you just begin to speak to us. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're out of here. So let's say this. On the count of three, Jesus is Lord over the Gunnison Basin in the world. Don't forget to grab snacks on your way out. You can stay a while, too. All right, one, two, three. Jesus is Lord over the Gunnison Basin and the world. Amen. Go out there and be the church.
You are listening to a podcast from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries. For more information about our church, please visit us at rmcmchurch.org.